And now, from the most connected city in the universe, this is Online Tonight with David Lawrence. On the air, toll-free at 1-800-39-ONLINE, 1-800-396-6546. And now, the host of Online Tonight, David Lawrence.
All right, just a shade past 7 past the hour. Just a shade past 7 past the hour. When you're going to be precise about something, be precise about something, right? This is the show about technology. Your Macintosh, your PC, the internet, Google, podcasting, pop-up ads, and all that sort of thing. And this hour and all the hours of tonight's show, we're going to dedicate it to arguably the most exciting, the most talked about, the most hyped event of the technology calendar this year, and that is the iPhone. So, starting at the very beginning, I love the hype. I loved watching the commercials. I loved seeing the fact that there was no little statement on the commercials saying pictures are simulated. Did you ever watch a television ad? You know, an ad for like a big screen television, you know, a big plasma, a big LCD screen. And usually they'll have a little legend on the bottom that says, pictures are simulated. Because frankly, if you take a shot of a television, it's not all that cool when you show it on film. But in this particular case, when they would show the hand show up with the iPhone and they would go through the... For example, one of the commercials had to do with Pirates of the Caribbean. They would watch the movie of Pirates of the Caribbean. When the giant squid would attack the boat, someone would say, oh, seafood, you know. Because the first thing I think of during an action movie, and I see a great big squid, is how I could eat that great big squid. But okay, fine. So somebody says seafood. So they go over to their browser, they search in Google for seafood. The maps come up, and boom, they can click on the map, find the number of the nearest seafood restaurant, call them, and make a reservation. That's the iPhone. And you sit there and you go, that's pretty cool. I don't know that I'd ever do that. I don't know that I'd ever be so disengaged with a movie that I would start thinking about eating the menace that is before me. But all right, fine. I guess possible, you know. So that was kind of cool. And then I thought to myself, I wonder how they did that. Because if you notice, he turned the phone away from horizontal to vertical, and the image reoriented itself. And I'm like, well, that's kind of cool. I don't know that that actually happens on the phone. Turns out it does. In fact, if you go to apple.com/iPhone and you look up the Macworld opening keynote this year where Steve Jobs announced the iPhone and all of the partners, AT&T and Yahoo and for mail and Google for searching and for maps and all that stuff. And then the stuff that they've added in between then and now, who knew that YouTube was going to blow up as big as it did? So it did. And, you know, over the course of watching all the commercials, I mean, it was 6 months worth of hype, 6 months worth of commercials, 6 months worth of why are they only going with AT&T? Why can't I get it on Verizon? And it became very clear very quickly why only one carrier was going to play ball, because AT&T was the only carrier when Apple said, would you mind if we rethink how cell phones are used? They were the only ones to say, absolutely. Verizon wasn't about to. Verizon homogenizes all of their phones so that the interface is exactly the same, and in some cases they dumb down the phones so that they can't do something. My history of using phones, for those of you that have been listening to the show for a while, is I used a Samsung for a while, which was fine. It was an upstart. Then I moved to a Trio, and I had a couple of, I think I had a flip phone in there somewhere, but it was a Palm-type flip phone. I always had a Palm-type smartphone, and it was always an effort to get the phone to synchronize so that I could only do my entries once, and that is on my contact list or on my address book. So I would use the Palm conduit, the Palm desktop, and so on to sync my phone. Eventually, I got a Trio. And maybe 4 months ago, I got rid of my Trio. I was sick and tired of it. It was rebooting at odd times of the day and night. And I'm talking four times a day the phone would reboot, not the least of which was 1 o'clock in the afternoon when I might be talking to my agent or I might be talking to Lily, who was producing the show. And all of a sudden, you know, boom, gone, hello. So, when the iPhone was coming out, I thought, no, I won't get an iPhone. I just got this Crazer, and I'm really happy with my Crazer. My new Crazer actually makes phone calls and keeps those phone calls going. Who doesn't want that? And I'm sitting there, and I thought, you know, I got booked onto Rick D's show. Rick D's does a weekly Top 40. He also does a show here on the Move-In Station in Los Angeles, and every so often he'll have me on to talk about technology. So I thought maybe I better brush up on what's going on. I'd certainly read David Pogue's reviews. I read Walt Mossberg in the Wall Street Journal, read his reviews, looked around at the CNET microsite on it. So I sort of re-energized myself on the thing just so that I could be able to, you know, accurately, when Rick goes, do they have a family plan, David? I could say, yes, they do. They have three different levels of family plans where you can share the minutes. So that was mostly it. But then I went back and I watched the keynote again. And I heard some things that I didn't hear the first time around in my exuberance to just get to the good stuff. And I watched him demonstrate the different pieces of the machine. And in true Steve Jobs fashion, just laid it out very simply, very elegantly. And it was one of those one more things, oh, and one more things deals. And so I kind of want to go through what happened between then and now that has made me basically, now I'm at the point now where, let me just tell you, I got the iPhone. In fact, there's a story behind this. I brought Ms. von Stupp with me as CFO of the company. She has to approve all major purchases. And she was trying to talk me out of it the whole time we were there. I'm in line paying for it, and something dramatic happens. So we'll get to that a little bit later in the show. So I decide I'm going to get it, and everybody's trying to talk me out of it. All of the people in the cabal of which we do not speak, they're saying I'm not going to get it. Here's why. Mostly revolving around AT&T as the cell phone service, which is formerly Singular. And there were some things that they do with their cell phones that I couldn't do, and I'm thinking, okay, well, maybe I don't need to. I'm not quite sure I need to do voice memos. But then I saw the demos of things like how calls are made. And the first thing Steve Jobs started with, it had a slide all its own in the presentation, was this very simple phrase. The killer app is making a phone call. You can put all the bells and whistles on a phone you want. If it isn't easy to make and maintain a cell call, it's just simply not worth it. So, I'm sitting there and I'm looking and I'm watching how he's doing it. I'm watching how it handles when a call comes in. You know, you always have to kind of think to yourself, do I hit the flash button? And then what happens? Do I hit the flash button again to go back to them? Or does the flash button, you know, join them in a conference? I'm not quite sure. Do I hit end? And does that bring the other call back? It's very simple and it's very clear on the screen what you do when you do this. Then, you know, you're watching the commercials and they do the thing with a New York Times front page where they just sort of flick it around with their fingers and they double tap to go in. And I'm thinking, it can't be that easy. And then I saw Steve do it in the presentation. And then when I played with the iPhone, it did it as well. And that's another thing that sealed it for me. And then the real deal was easily syncing my Macintosh Entourage, or in the case of the PC, Outlook, with the iPhone. And when I found out how easy that was it. That made the decision for me. So more on the iPhone as the David Lawrence Show continues. Online tonight. Geek speak. Okay, I just found something new I could do with the iPhone. If you go to the website, if you go to the davidlawrenceshow.com, every one of our guests has a little 64x64 icon. Going back, you know, a dozen years or more that we've been doing the show, hundreds and hundreds, almost 1,000 people that we've had on the show each have their own little icon. And so all of those are in my iPhoto folder, because that's where I keep all my photos so that I can, you know, if you're organized on your Macintosh, the iPhone is going to reward those people who are organized, because if you've got stuff all over your hard drive, you're gonna find yourself wanting to reassign them to a better place. Because, you know, if you've got everything where it should be, where the way Macintosh, the way Apple's Mac OS X has it set up, you're going to find it all transfers right over the iPhone instantly, which is so makes things so easy. I mean, really so easy. Dean Cameron, who's been on the show a lot, I just picked him out of the thin air after I synced my pictures, synced everything all day on my iPhone. And when you find a picture that you recognize, obviously it's somebody that you know their face, you click on it, there's a little option that says, make this part of someone's, make this the picture that happens when someone calls. And so you have the ability to find them in the list. You know, the faster you flip your finger, the faster it goes to the part of the list that you want. You can go, I've got over 6,000 contacts, okay? And it's taken me 10 or 12 finger flicks to get to the D's, but there it is. I'm in the D's and I'm ready to go.
Don't you push on the D?
What? What D? Oh, D.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I just pushed on, now, hang on. I just set them in some place I didn't want to do. Now, it's okay. It's okay. I was on a roll here. Are you going to do that the whole time?
Well,
because you're
no,
playing
but,
with your iPhone, too?
Well, no, but here's the thing.
Yes.
There's an alphabet on the right-hand side of your contact list. And if you start at the G's by clicking on the G, that's where you're going to pick it up.
I found
and
it.
Then it'll take you much shorter time to
Ladies and gentlemen,
I
just found
one.
Something else I could do with the iPod.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
So there we go. All right. So let's find Dean Cameron here. Let me assign it to Dean Cameron, and then I can move on with our geek speak, which is called the iPhone. So I'm finding Dean Cameron. There he is, and I click on that one, and boom, that is now his. That is so cool. A lot of what you'll find people doing on the iPhone, you'll see them going, wow, that is so cool, because it just happens. It just happens. So here, let me, oh, look, when you close it, that's really nice. Okay, so the iPhone is this hour's Geek Speak. And this basically is a rundown of the phone and what it is. The manufacturer is Apple. It's got an ARM 1176 CPU in it. The carrier is AT&T Wireless. You knew them as Singular up until a few months ago. The screen on the iPhone is a 3.5-inch, 320 by 480 pixel screen. At 160 pixels per inch, please don't don't take pictures. The camera's a 2.0 megapixel. Erase that immediately. The camera's a 2.0 megapixel picture. Memory 4 gigabytes or 8 gigabytes. Internal flash memory. Network is 2.5G GSM quad band, which means it's world capable, but it is not able to take advantage of the 3G networks that are so fast. It takes GPRS and Edge. The data speed is up to 220 kilobits per second, which is about more than five times modem speed. It's about double ISDN speed. And then again, that's up to, okay? Connectivity is via the 30-pin iPod dock connector, also via Wi-Fi, 802.11b and G, and Bluetooth 2.0. Now, the physical size is 115 by 61 by 11.6 millimeters. This is about the size of two sticks of butter, or a stick of butter cut in half and put side by side. It is much flatter than you would think. In the commercials, it looks thicker than it is. But it's literally less than a half inch thick. And at this form factor, it's still a candy bar, but it rests in your palm in such a way that your three fingers, your pinky, your ring, and your middle finger rest along one edge, your index finger goes along the top, and your thumb goes on the side. And as you rest it in your hand, your thumb is fully free to do things with the phone. So you can dial with one hand. It's also got a shiny finish on the back, but a matte finish along the edges so that you have some gripping capability with the phone. And there is only one button on the face of the phone. And that one button on the face of the phone is the home button. You press that button. You hear that? Hear that buzzing? Hear that buzzing? That's the phone coming to life. All you do is take your thumb and you slide the lock to unlock it, and you're given the home screen. Now, the media capabilities of this is it's an iPod. It's a 5G, fifth generation iPod, and it's got more capabilities in some ways, but less capacity. More capabilities, less capacity than the latest fifth generation iPod, video iPod. So, and that's the way Steve kind of broke it up, and that's how we're going to break it up on the show into the three different things that the iPhone does. We're going to go through each one of them. I'm going to explore each one of the facets, all of the buttons on the homepage, how things work, what my experience was in buying it, in getting it authorized, in adding Ms. von Stupp's number so that we have the business plan for the phone. I mean, everything about this is going to, I'm just going to go from stem to stern up to today when I went to a casting workshop and I was surrounded by everybody in the room, including the casting director, wanting to ogle the iPod, wanting to ogle the iPhone. So there you go.
You.
Yeah, that's me. So there you go. That is this hour's Geek Speak. It is the iPhone. It's brought to you by Navizon. Navizon, mapping the world via user-generated content. You put Navizon on your cell phone or your laptop, it's absolutely free, and you you swing by a Wi-Fi hotspot, a cell tower, and so on. It maps it and sends it back to Navizon. They're slowly mapping the entire country so that everybody can enjoy it. It's absolutely free. The more you map, the more you get paid, and it's just fantastic. So that's it. It is the one of the greatest things ever. Navizon.com. That is this hour's Geek Speak, by the way. All right, here's what we're going to do. We are going to take a look at the iPhone. This week was an interesting week for it. It got released on Friday at 6 o'clock. I'm going to sort of give you the rundown as to what we did as it got released and what happened after the fact when we actually picked one up, and actually more than one. So I'm David Lawrence. Our toll-free telephone number, if you want to jump in to ask questions about the iPhone, is 1-800-39-ONLINE, 1-800-396-6546, 1-800-39-ONLINE. Feel free to pick up the phone, give us a call. We'll answer the questions as we know them. Things are going to change with the iPhone. If you're hearing this as a best of someday, you know, things may be completely different. Stay right where you are.
Three college students were asked to take 2 days and download as many music files as possible from easily accessible file sharing services. In 2 days, they downloaded over 6,000 songs. Now, multiply that by millions of other college students and millions of other computer users, and it's easy to understand why each month, approximately 3.6 billion songs are illegally downloaded. Still think it's a small problem? Respect the music.
A message from Online Tonight with David Lawrence.
Respect the music.
Don't pirate.
Online Tonight. Online Tonight.
All right, it's 26 minutes before the hour. My name is David Lawrence. Thanks so much for tuning in to Online Tonight. We're talking all about the iPhone tonight. We'll take calls on anything you have to do regarding technology, any questions you might have. Carl, how can I help you?
I was wanting to find out who makes the best DSL modem, that thing that they provided me with when I got my DSL service not working very good.
Well, unfortunately, that may be the only option you have. Have you talked to the company to see if they will let you put in another DSL modem other than the one that they provide?
They said I could put in anything I wanted to, but I had to buy it.
All right. Well, I've had great luck. I can only tell you what I've had great luck with. It's not the kind of thing that I would ever spend the time trying to swap out in my service and test, and also what other people have said. But Motorola, and I think Motorola is all I've ever had. What do you have?
It's a Zytel. Three-fourths of the time, it doesn't work.
And you're sure it's the modem itself and not your phone lines?
I had the phone company come out and check it, and they said it was definitely the modem.
Well, the Motorola, they make very tiny little modems. They make very tiny little DSL modems. They're very simple. I can tell you that... Who is your provider, by the way?
Earthlink.
If you call Earthlink's tech support and they start saying things with an Indian accent... And looking at their scripts and asking, is the third light from the left blinking, which is what happens with my AT&T Yahoo when I call them, because they expect a certain modem to be in my system, they may not be able to provide support for you.
Well, they ended up breaking the thing. There's nothing wrong with it. The phone company, they sent the phone company hanging out. He checked it, put his modem in. There's nothing wrong with DSL service. You're fine. modem, something wrong with the modem.
Well, I would absolutely check to see if Motorola is compatible with their system. See, remember, Earthlink is a reseller, so
yeah, it's AT&T DSL.
So I would call up AT&T and ask them what model they provide when people buy DSL from them. Or, and this is just one jerk's opinion, I might leave Earthlink and go with AT&T since they are now quietly selling DSL at less than $12 a month. Have you looked at the latest prices over there?
The prices they quoted me there locally was more than Earthlink started.
Right, but I'm saying in the meantime, in the last 3 weeks to a month, it's down below $12 a month.
Yeah, that just depends on the speed.
Yes, I get that. I understand that.
I got the highest speed available where I'm at. There's twice as much as what I'm paying.
How far away from the central office do you live?
Well, I'm as far away from there still as it can be and have DSL service.
Okay, so you're going to get the slowest service anyway, right?
Yeah.
So you might want to think about that as you decide between not only a DSL modem, but also a DSL provider. And getting back to the iPhone, the cool thing about the iPhone is if you have a DSL connection, you have a cable connection, you have a Wi-Fi router, all of a sudden, your iPhone becomes yet another access point to the internet. Because all you do, obviously, if you've taken our advice here on the show, you've locked down your router, you have both a Wi-Fi a password to it, and you also have a number of different things that keep your modem safe, and you just enter that information into your iPhone, and it's automatically going to jump on the Wi-Fi network when it hears it when you come home. It'll be on. It'll go, oh, we're within the boundaries of John Smith's Wi-Fi network. Well, let's just jump on that network, and it does so. All you have to do is enter the WAP password once, and you're good to go. So. How cool is that? So cool. So cool. All right. What we have here is the week before the iPhone. I'm kind of like going in chronological order on how things have been this past week. Around Wednesday or so is when I started to get excited about it. Around Wednesday or so is when I started boning up on the iPhone so that I could talk intelligently with Rick Dees, and I did. And then I started learning more and more about what the iPhone is capable of doing, less and less about the commercial, more and more about the things that are important to me. The mapping, the interface with the maps and the phone and the contacts and so on. The biggest thing that I've always had a problem with smartphones is syncing my contacts and my calendar. Hello? Hello? Is somebody on here? Hang on one second. I wonder if my phone is ringing. Nope, nothing going on there. All right, I'm actually going to turn it off so that it doesn't make noises like that. It's so close to what I'm doing that I'm going to keep it off for now. And all along, Ms. Von Stupp, who's going to talk to us during the next segment of the show, was trying to talk me out of it. She's like, you know, every new toy that comes along, I know you have to do it for the show, but this one's really, really expensive. The prices on these, depending upon whether you get a 4 gig or an 8 gig, and here's the fun part. When I went to the Apple store on Friday after the show and everybody in line was buying an 8 gig, as soon as one person would buy a 4 gig, it was like going to a Cold Stone Creamery and giving them a tip. They would all go, hey, 4 gig, hooray, 4 gig, hooray. Apparently they were overloaded with 4 gig. They underestimated the demand of the 8 gig iPhones. It's a $100 difference. If you're going to spend $499, why aren't you going to spend $599 to double your capacity from 4 gigs to 8 gigs? So they were selling far fewer than they thought, and they were making joyous noises when a 4 gig was sold. So far more 8 gigs were sold than not. And Ms. Von Stupp also has some stories of her overhearing the Apple Store employees talking about the percentage of commission that they were making on the iPhones. When we went to the store itself, the woman that checked me out told me that over 3,000 people were standing in line when they reopened the store at 6 o'clock, out the mall, out onto the street, managed by police. I mean, it was clearly a case of event-based marketing on a very high order. So the more I thought about it, the more I read about it, the more I thought this might be something that will actually work both as a phone and as an easily synced a device so that I can have my contacts and my calendaring on the road. And then I watched the presentation by Steve Jobs all over again, and I thought to myself, how much of this could have been faked? You know, how much of this could have been just quickly mocked up prior? And I was watching the way he was handling the device, the way he was using his fingers, and I thought, no, this really couldn't be that way. There were some times, I mean, I know stagecraft. There were some times when they raised the volume on the phone so that it could be heard by the audience via microphone or via some sort of audio output. But the fact of the matter is that they made phone calls inside the arena, inside Moscone, which is notorious for not having a good signal. So they may have worked with AT&T to have an antenna right inside the auditorium. I don't know. But it was very clear signal. I looked at the coverage map for AT&T for the Hollywood Hills, which is where I live, and the areas where I work, which is the studios and the casting directors and the workshops and the film locations and so on, the commercial filming locations, the big film studios, as well as the audio studios. And there were a couple places where it was kind of spotty, but not usually. So, all right, fine. And then I read, yes, you can synchronize your phone from Entourage. Dead simple to synchronize your phone from iCal or from and from Address Book and from Mail, which are the three main applications on your Macintosh, and from Outlook, Outlook Express, and so on your PC. Because, again, Apple didn't shoot themselves in the foot here. The iPhone works equally well with the Macintosh and a Windows XP Plus, meaning XP or Vista PC. So I thought, okay, well, if it's dead simple to do it, then let's try it. Let's see what happens. So I decided I was going to do it. On Friday at 4 o'clock, I had a dinner with my friend Marita, and I thought, how long could dinner go? 4 to 5:30. The AT&T store, which is on my way back to the palatial estate, didn't have many people in line when I drove by it to go to dinner. So this was at like 3:30 or so. I was headed off to dinner. There were maybe 10 people in line. I thought, maybe I could just sneak in there, you know, because you're hearing reports all across the country of lines that started on Monday or Tuesday. In New York City, the Apple store and the AT&T store in Midtown Manhattan, there were people paying to be in line. There were people being paid to be in line all over Los Angeles as well. I mean, studio executives, actors, celebrities and so on. They were sending their assistants to stand in line to get this iPhone for them, right? So this was happening all over the place. This was part of the hype. This was part. And then Steve Jobs and the head of AT&T were defending the fact that the iPhone is using the Edge network rather than the 3G network, which has five letters in it beginning with H that I don't recall, HDCMA or something like that, because the chip uses power faster, not because it was harder to maintain a signal with it, but that the chip actually used power faster. Now, they may update that in a later one. But so far, I'm really happy with the speed that I've been getting, both Wi-Fi and Edge. You know, I'm sure I'll get cranky later on when it doesn't just pop up when I need it, when I'm waiting to go into a meeting and I'm looking for something and it just simply doesn't come up. But for right now, it's pretty good. All right. So Thursday comes around. I do the bit with Rick Dees. I'm doing the thing with him. Don't touch my iPhone. Don't touch it. Don't touch it. I don't have an iPhone. We were just doing radio humor, and you'll hear it on the Weekly Top 40 or on his show if you're in the L.A. area. And then I thought to myself, I really should learn more about it and make a final decision if I'm going to do this. So I'm coming back from dinner. The line has gone, and I have to be on the air at 7. The line has gone from 10 people or so to over 800 people around the corner, up the street. And, obviously people weren't stupid in L.A. to be there on Monday, but they showed up at 5:45. So more on the iPhone in a moment. Miss Von Stupp, you are summoned to the studio. All right, here you go. iPhone site has everything you need to specs. Everything at iPhone.com. That's the place that Apple set up. It's actually apple.com/iPhone. But the iPhone... Now, this is a device that actually runs the Mac OS X operating system. So that's kind of cool. I mean, this is a device that's actually running the same operating system that runs on my MacBook Pro. In fact, there have been some issues with the version of macOS. By the way, did your MacBook Pro update, or your MacBook? What are you running? What are you using? Do you use a MacBook Pro or no? What Macintosh do you have?
I have.
Is it a PowerBook?
I have a PowerBook. Yeah.
Okay, and did it upgrade to 10.4.10?
Yes.
Properly?
Yes.
Okay, there have been some issues.
Mine updated perfectly. My iTunes updated to 7.3 perfectly.
I did not, and that's what I'm going
to
discuss when I get to that. But at any rate, you've got all kinds of stuff. You've got M4V playback, MP4, movie formats, H.264, AACLC, all the video formats that you have on your iPod supported, all the audio formats, AAC, AIF, WAVE, Apple Lossless, MP3, MP3 variable bitrate, Audible for audiobooks. It's all there, and you can find all the details on how to use your iPhone at iPhone.com. That is this hour's Bookmark This, and it's brought to you by our friends at Rackspace. Right now, you can get free enterprise class managed backup with selected managed hosting packages. It's all at Rackspace Managed Hosting. Call them at 1-800-961-2888 or visit them at Rackspace.com. Rackspace.com. Continuing our coverage of the iPhone, you were trying to talk me out of it all the way through because you were like, this is a major purchase. It's not the kind of thing that I think, you need to have. You're happy with your Crazer. It makes a phone call.
Well, yeah. I was the dutiful CFO who said, you just went through two phones. Every time you get a new phone, it's like, hey, I bought the i700 compact, but I don't really like it. So do you want to use it? I'm going to find a better phone. So I get stuck with all of your leftover stuff you don't like.
Okay.
So I'm like, okay, great. He's going to go out now. He just had to have the newest video iPod after having, had to get the fourth generation audio iPod. And then, now it's like, hey, look, the new iPhone's coming out. And I'm like, yeah, but if you wait.
Right.
They'll be announcing the newer one.
And you weren't the only one giving me that advice. We had the Smart Family on last night.
Yeah, I told them to tell you that.
You did?
Yeah.
You actually coached them to tell me
well,
that?
Well, what I said was this. I said,
it's
Max,
not very nice.
I said, Max, let me ask you a question. Are you going to go out and buy the phone? And he goes, probably not, because I know that the next generation is going to get rid of all the bugs. And, there's going to be so many of these sold that people will play with them and they'll figure out what they want to do. And then I'll get the next one when I'm ready to renew my contract anyway in like 3 months.
There you go.
And I said, that makes sense. I said, tell David that.
Well, he had his, and here's the thing. I had my new every two contract renewal. I got to pay $175 to get out of my Verizon contract if I wanted to. And it's not an angry thing. I mean, I like Verizon. Verizon, makes great phone calls. I like the Crazer. The form factor is great. It's nice and sexy in your hand. But the iPhone is too. The iPhone just rocks. All right. So Friday comes around. I decide I'm not going to even attempt to try and squeeze in, even though the people are moving steadily into the AT&T store. I'll call the Apple store. I have friends there, but I didn't call my friends there because I didn't want to take advantage of that friendship that way. I'd much rather save it for when my MacBook Pro just dies on me and I need someone quickly. But they said they'd be open till midnight. And it's not just open till midnight. If you were in the door at midnight, they're going to be open till like 2 in the morning if they have to be. So I got off the air at 10:15 after I did the podcast. Boom, out the door. Over to the Apple store at the Grove, which is one of the biggest and fanciest sort of Galleria-type stores in the area. And it's just gorgeous down there, and it's got all the uplit palm trees and stuff. It's just really, really beautiful to go. So Ms. Von Stupp came with me because she was still trying to talk me out of it. So we're in the car, and she's telling me, it's a $600 thing. What does this phone do that your other phone doesn't? And I started to enumerate them. So she immediately, you kind of took a different tack. You were just like, do you really need this other than, can't you get Apple to send you one?
Well, no, I didn't even say that. I said, I know that you really want to play one. Why don't you just go there, play with it? You'll know all the information. You'll have all the information that you need to talk about it intelligently on the show. We have friends that are going to have them. We can talk with them about the pros and cons. There's no real need for us to review this. It's going to be one of the most over-reviewed items out there.
Right. So we get there, we park. Nobody's there, obviously, except the goofballs that are at the Apple store. And now remember, this is 6 hours after, 5 hours after they reopened their doors. So the mad rush of 3,000 people is dwindled down. I mean, there may be 20, 25 people in the front of the store and a line of only 4 or 5, and there are 10 people checking people out. They not only have the stationary stores where they registers, but they also had people walking around with mobile devices that could check you out if all you wanted was the phone. So I'm standing in the line, maybe 4 people ahead of me, and all of a sudden I hear, I want one.
From the back of the store.
Right. And I'm like, that sounds suspiciously like Ms. Von Stupp. And I look up, and there she is. All of a sudden, her face has completely changed from the scrunched up CFO. You're spending, you know, $600+ and you know, it's just for another phone. But all of a sudden, we're now buying 2 8-gig Apple iPhones. We're also going through all of the accessories. She finds a pink, of course, pink case for it that's already been, you know, injection molded by some company. Griffin had stuff out. Belkin had stuff out. They were all along the wall there. The one thing, one of the things I don't like about the iPhone is they give you the old style sort of, you know, lozenge type headphones. The difference being there's a microphone and a push to talk switch or a push to make a call switch on it, but the things are too big for my ears. So more about our adventures at the Apple Store in a moment.
I love that we're doing this, and I love that it's risky. All anyone ever does in this business is follow the pack.
With David Lawrence.
And now, from the most connected city in the universe, this is Online Tonight with David Lawrence. On the air, toll free at 1-800-39-ONLINE, 1-800-396-6546. And now, the host of Online Tonight, David Lawrence.
Thank you so much for tuning in. It's 7 minutes past the hour. My name is David Lawrence. And tonight we are celebrating the iPhone. The iPhone, arguably one of the most talked about, one of the most anticipated, one of the most hyped, one of the most publicized, one of the most promoted devices in the history of technology. A lot of people have been waiting for Apple to do for the cell phone what they've done for the portable music device. And so we've been spending our time sort of talking about what's happened this past week and how I came from, you know, not wanting to get one other than playing with it and letting you know about it on the air, to actually getting one and being just simply blown away by it. I mean, it's just fantastic. So, you know, depending upon how you're hearing the show, we may have already spoken about what led up to the purchase of the iPhone and Ms. Von Stupp deciding at the last minute that she, in fact, wanted one as well. So we are both the proud new owners of iPhones because, Lord knows, you know, we're just made of money around here. We've got the iPhones and you know, you get so excited about this sort of thing. And when you know you're going to get one, you get all wrapped up in it. You get prepared for it. You start, you know, davening. You're just vibrating. You're just sitting there. You're really excited about it. And so there was one thing that I needed to do in preparation for using the iPhone, and that was to upgrade to iTunes 7.3. Now, I did this yesterday during the radio show, during the Friday night radio show. And, you do an upgrade, and you hope and pray that it works properly. This upgrade went wrong. It wasn't something... The last time I did an upgrade with QuickTime and iTunes on my old PowerBook, it went so badly that I couldn't open up either iTunes or my QuickTime player because something happened where the whole operating system was just really hosed. And I was concerned about that. I was really concerned about how this would go. Simply because it was adding so much new functionality to iTunes. It was the whole iPhone section. Because the iPhone is 3 different devices in one. The iPhone is a cell phone. It is a browser. It is a fully functional window to the web, and we'll get to that later on in the show. And the third item is, it is the most advanced iPod ever. It's the widest screen. It's the densest dots per inch, the densest pixels per inch. And it's got some things associated with it that let you see things in widescreen, which you can't see in the other way. It's brilliant. But all that stuff had to be updated in iTunes. So I was on 7.2, going to 7.3, and as I'm doing the upgrade, it's cooking along. It's a long download. It's like 80 megabytes. It's a long download. Then it has to be installed. And what happens is, when you do an update of this nature with iTunes, it has to go through your library. And I've got some 6,000 pieces in the library. Everything from sound effects to music to videos, my demo reels, everything that I need is on there. And obviously, it takes up far more capacity than the iPhone is able to handle, because the iPhone is only a 4 gig or an 8 gig, and the latest iPods are 80 gigs. Even then, it's my bolus of stuff, audio, video, and so on my iTunes is even larger than the capacity of my iPod. So I have to be selective about what I sync up. So I'm already used to that. That's fine. It gets about, I don't know, nine-tenths of the way done, and then a dialog box comes up. Now, this is the update from 7.2 to 7.3 in iTunes, and it has to be done if I want to use the iPhone. It says, unknown error, minus 50. Cannot update iTunes library. And that's not the kind of thing that you want to see. Because not only does it mean that you've just screwed up what is working just fine on your computer, but you can't get that iPhone until you get iTunes 7.3 worked out. So I'm all over the web. There are sites on the web where people have already updated and they've already experienced this. One of them is MacFixit. The other one is Engadget and Gizmodo and all the sites that I go to sort of soak up the joy that is Techno Freaks. And they're all talking about this error. And so I Google, iTunes 7.3, and I put in quotes, because in Google, if you put a minus in front of something, and I've never understood why Apple does this. Instead of just having a code, 50, they have to do a minus 50. Unfortunately, in Google, if you do minus anything, it won't return results that include that anything. So if you want, for example, to look up local restaurants, but anything but Starbucks. You got something against Starbucks. I don't know why you would, but maybe you do. So local coffee shops, not Starbucks. So you do coffee shops, city you live in, minus Starbucks. And it'll return all the coffee shops except for the ones where the return results would have the word Starbucks in it. So what you do there is you put them in quotes. You put quote minus 50 quote, and then it doesn't do it that way. So I look it up, and I get a whole bunch of things back. Basically, one of them tells me to look at this knowledge base article on the Apple website, which talks about how to manually rebuild your library. And again, I've got 6,000 pieces. So manually rebuilding the library, how to manually rebuild it. What you do is you drag your XML file, which is the list of everything in your library, out to the desktop, and then re-import it. And then everything is fine. You quit iTunes. And I'm keeping my fingers crossed that this will work. It took about 45 minutes for it to re-import everything. And thankfully, it worked as advertised. So if you get that error, that minus 50 error, when you update iTunes for the iPhone to go from anything to 7.3, if it comes up with unknown error, what you do is you drag the iTunes library.xml file, which is in your iTunes file, in your user directory, or on a PC in the users directory. You bring that out to your desktop, and then you go into iTunes. You'll panic because there's nothing in there. What you've just done is removed the index of your iTunes music library. And then you pull them back in, and then you have to pull in your podcast, you have to pull in your playlists and all that sort of thing. So that's the deal. I get that all set. And this is before the show is over, so I'm really happy at this point, because I'm going to the iTunes store at the Grove, or the Apple store at the Grove, and I'm going to get myself an iPhone. So I go there, I get it, Ms. Von Stupp gets crazy, she gets hers, and, I drop her off at her house, I come back to the palatial estate, we're talking to each other on our regular cell phones going, have you been able to authorize yet? Because here's what you do. You know how when you go to the cell phone store and you get a new cell phone or you update your cell phone or whatever, it's going to take about a half an hour with all the paperwork and with all the, all right, let me take your address book and put it over here on our special magic machine, and then we'll put them all back on your, what brand do you want, and then we got to sign a contract, and then you got to do that. You don't do any of that. You go to whatever store sells it, either the AT&T store or the Apple store or whatever stores they end up allowing to sell in the future. You bring home a box. Inside that box is a cradle with a USB connector on it. You plug it into your computer, whether it's a Mac or a PC, and you bring up iTunes, and that's where everything happens. It happens in the iTunes store. You get your AT&T connectivity. They check your credit. They tell you whether or not you can be authorized. And in my case, this was at midnight last night, and apparently everybody in the known universe was spending Friday evening buying their iPhone and then attempting to authorize their iPhone for service, which totally slammed the AT&T servers. The story continues in just a moment. Stay right there. All right, the Geek Speak phrase for this hour is local number portability. When we last left our hero, he was the proud owner of a new 8-gig iPhone, and I was on my way home to, well, to get started, because I was ready to stay up all night and play with my iPhone. But I'm not ready to leave Verizon just yet. I'm just not ready until I've played with the iPhone for a couple of weeks. You know, I'm just not going to get rid of Verizon yet. And I got to think to myself that Verizon and T-Mobile and Sprint are just sitting there going, great. I actually saw some signs on the Verizon stores going, check out our new music phone. Check out VCast, which I've done already, and it's fantastic, and I like it. We had the guys on from Verizon a couple weeks ago about, you know, the Prince thing where you could actually, the song ID, where you could hold your phone up to the speaker, and if it hears a song that it knows, it can actually download it right to the phone. That's pretty cool. So local number portability is what I will use if, in fact, I decide after a couple of weeks, all right, I'm done with Verizon. I'm going to pay the $175 to get out of the contract. I'm just going to retire the Crazer. Maybe I'll sell it on eBay, you know, give the money to charity, say it's a big deal, it's my phone, whatever. But local number portability, LNP for fixed lines and full mobile number portability for mobile phone lines is the ability to transfer either an existing fixed line or mobile telephone number assigned by a carrier and reassign it to another carrier. Now, there are some limitations with regards to geography, service area coverage, technology, and so on, but that's basically, and this is your federal government at work, just so you know. The federal government passed a law saying if somebody really, like my cell phone number is a very easy number to remember. I've got friends who have, like, the cell phone number of, you know, their area code, you know, 543-2222. I mean, who would want to get rid of a number like that? So I've got one of those kinds of numbers for my cell phone, and I don't want to get rid of it. So I decided that when I was gonna do the new account for AT&T, which is the only account, the only service provider that that the iPhone works with, I was gonna get a new number assignment. And believe me, the number they gave me, it's horrible. I don't know what it is. I really don't. I have to look on my email that they sent me telling me what my number was. It's one of those horrifying numbers. None of the digits are the same. None of them are in any logical order. So it's just, it's frightening. So that's why once you get a number that you like, you want to hang on to it. Local number portability, or LNP, is important, and it's something that they have to do. Now, I'm going to talk more about this when I continue with the saga of getting this thing authorized, which was kind of goofy. But I decided not to invoke local number portability. And the cool thing about the iTunes store is it says, hey, do you have another number on another carrier that you want to port over to this one, or do you want to start with a new number? They make it very simple when you first sign up for the iPhone. And again, this is all through the iTunes store. So it's got the same iPod, iTunes, Apple design that's simple and easy, and the interface rocks and all that stuff. So local number portability, that is this hour's Geek Speak, and it's brought to you by GoDaddy. I use GoDaddy.com all the time. Can't recommend them highly enough. Domains for as little as $1.99 with any other product, with email, with hosting, with web traffic and marketing tools, with podcasting tools, whatever. All at a fraction of what you'd expect. And right now, I'll save you 10% if you have a big, massive order like that, or something really small, just getting hosting. 10% off by entering the code RADIO10 when you check out. RADIO10, RADIO10 when you check out. Make your name with GoDaddy.com. That's GoDaddy.com. GoDaddy.com.
only playing bumper music that doesn't suck. This is Online Tonight with David Lawrence. Now, here's David.
Jello. All right, it's 25 past the hour. My name is David Lawrence, and we're talking about the iPhone. And I got the iPhone home. I got it into the cradle. It's partially, they do this with cell phones now. They're partially charged. And, you know, the battery technology is such that they can do that and not, you know, ghost the image, the level. So it's much better than it used to be. So it's partially charged. I open it up. It's in a gorgeous, they give it to you, by the way, at the store, in a gorgeous little black bag that's hard-sided. It's like a hard-sided bag. It's not completely, like, rigid, but it's like a gift bag. And the box itself, again, Apple elegance. It's a clamshell box, and on top there's the, I think the grand total number of pages in the manual was like 12. And mostly it was the required stuff from the FCC and the FTC and the FDA and all that junk, the Energy Commission and so on. And of course, because it's an Apple product, it has two white Apple stickers included as well. So, yay. So you open that up. And the one thing I don't like about it is the headphones. The headphones are the old style, you know, like lozenge headphones, the earbuds. They're too big for my ears. I like the new ones that come with the new iPods that are rubber and in the ear. And I'm hoping that they'll make an upgraded version. Also, what comes inside is a converter for USB to wall socket, to North American wall socket. So you put in the USB cable connector, and you can actually, if you don't have your computer around, you can charge the iPhone with this little travel adapter, which is really cool. So it is, by the way, a typical USB to 30-pin cable, which then gets plugged in to a cradle in the back. You can either use the cradle, you can use the cable independent of the cradle. But the cradle's kind of nice. You know, it's weighted. It sits there. I put it in. iTunes pops open. Off we are to the races. Oh, you have an iPhone? I mean, that's what it's like. And the iTunes store opens up. Remember, we already went through the whole upgrade from 7.2 to 7.3. So the iTunes store opens up, and we go right to welcome to the iPhone store. Welcome to the iPhone AT&T authorization process. So I had an existing iTunes ID, Apple ID, so that I could buy stuff at the iTunes store, so it took advantage of that. It took me over to get my, make sure I have good credit. Everything's fine. And then it was time to authorize the cell phone. Now, usually when you go to a cell phone store and they go to authorize it, you know, they do it over the cell system, and it takes like 10 seconds and you're authorized. Now, there's a SIM card inside the iPhone which needs to be authorized, and it's done through the store. Instead of authorizing my phone, it came up with a message saying, your phone is not yet completely authorized. Watch for an email at the email address for my iTunes ID, my Apple ID, where it will tell you that you are finished, that you are authorized. I got an email saying the same thing, and I waited. I waited a couple of minutes. I figured it would take 3 minutes. It said it may take 3 minutes or more. So I'm waiting, and I'm waiting. And I'm waiting, and I'm cleaning up things that I don't need to clean up. I'm, like, vacuuming the floor. I'm, like, you know, doing things I don't need to do. Half an hour later, still no authorization. So I decide to call AT&T. Boy, that was a mistake. Back in a moment.
Here's your band's debut record.
Rocks! Ooh, kick the ass. Good song.
I think it's cool.
Here's your band's debut record after 63 million people have downloaded it for free. Yo, any questions? Respect the music.
A message from Online Tonight with David Lawrence.
Respect the music.
Don't pirate.
They're cool, they're real.
Can't get no better.
Online Tonight. Online Tonight.
Please, to save everyone's sanity, please address David as Sonny. Thank you. That is all. This is Online Tonight with David Lawrence. Now, here's David.
26 minutes before the hour. If you've missed any of this special edition of Online Tonight about the iPhone, all about the iPhone, feel free to pop over to DavidLawrenceUnplugged.com. We're kind of walking all the way through from the initial hype of the iPhone through me going and standing in a very short line yesterday. because I waited until the line died down. I could have waited in a line of 3,000 people. There were lots of people being paid lots of money. Talk about momentary wealth when you say to somebody, hey, I'm at the end of the line. How would you like to, or I'm at the beginning of the line. How would you like to buy my spot for $500? People were actually paying it. You know, my boss wants me to get back before 7:30. All right. So I come home. I'm getting all set. I'm all paid up. I've chosen a plan that's, a business multi-line plan, so many minutes, blah, blah, blah. And it turns out that AT&T, you can't do a business type plan. You have to convert to a consumer plan. And so the family plan is what, you know, it's all in the Online Tonight family. We're doing a family plan, multiple lines here for everybody. So, all right, so I get it into the thing, and it's registering. It's going to take 3 minutes or more. It's now 20 minutes, a half an hour in. My phone is not authorized. And it's kind of driving me a little crazy. I mean, it's the middle of the night. Why would it take so long unless their servers are down or they're being slammed? So I, on the screen in the iTunes store that talks about the fact that it'll be 3 minutes or longer, there is a phone number. A toll-free phone number for AT&T plus an FAQ button. I didn't press the FAQ button. I don't care. It's not being authorized. I can't use my phone. So I call the phone number, and I get not a snotty little girl, but like a little girl who, you know, a 19-year-old, an 18-year-old, a 17-year-old. I'm not quite sure. Maybe just a 25-year-old with a young voice. And she's like joking around with me. How you doing today? I'm fine. Wondering if I could get some information. That's what I'm here for. Okay, fine. And not just like perky, but then she's like asking questions like, is there any little thing I can do to help you? Because she knows what I'm calling about. She knows what the answer is going to be. I said, I'm just wondering. I'm sitting here and I'm trying to authorize my iPhone. She goes, really? Nobody else is trying to do that right now at this very particular time. And I'm like, okay. All right, fine. And in any other circumstance, I'd be fine about, you know, joking around with the person on the phone. And she sounded like she was, you know, just like in that kind of thing. And then, you know, she told me it's going to be about 6 hours. It could be up to 6 hours. And I'm like, ugh, all right, fine. So I'll just go to bed and I'll wake up early in the morning and I'll see if it's authorized. Which, by the way, it was. It took less than 6 hours. It was authorized. So, but then she goes, and then she starts following her script. I want to thank you for calling AT&T today. On a scale of 1 to 5, have I helped you? And so I said, yeah, a 3. And there's this pause, and she goes, okay, how could I have done better, sir? And I said, I don't know, not being so flip. I mean, I'm looking for information here, and you're joking around with me and stuff. And she said, no, I'm just trying to put you at ease, sir. And I'm like, well, you didn't. What you did was you made it sound as though it wasn't important to you. And it is important to me. So I don't mind joking, you know, occasional humor, that's fine. But you were like, you know, you're like a cheerleader. Well, I'm sorry you feel that way, sir. I'll put you down for a 3. And thank you for calling AT&T. So that was the way that went. And I thought about it after I got off the phone. I thought, these people are just being slammed. Because I had to call today about my voicemail. My voicemail wasn't working right from the start when I got it authorized. I was getting, you can't reach this number. It's an unknown number, or a number not formatted properly, some sort of goofy, because one of the cool things about the phone, we're going to get into all the features of the phone in all three areas as soon as I'm done with this saga of just getting the phone. So I decide to go to bed. I wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning and I can't wait. It's like a kid at Christmas. I can't wait. I walk in. There's an email waiting. Authorization complete. You open up the email and it tells you your phone number. And my phone number is horrible. It is just horrible. Not a single, I think there's 2 8s in it or something. I'm not quite sure. But there's nothing about it that's memorable, nothing about it that I would want to keep. And I called today, one of the things I called about was changing my number. Yes, we can do that for $36, sir. There was, by the way, there was an application fee of $36 as well. So they get you for $36 just to apply online, which is kind of goofy. All right, so I'm done. It's authorized. It's working. It is gorgeous. It's just gorgeous. I haven't made a call on it yet. I haven't done anything. I spend the morning playing with the phone. I mean, literally, I start playing with it as soon as I get up. I look up, and I've got an appointment at 1 o'clock. I'm going to a workshop at 1 o'clock. I look up, it's 11:30. That's how long I've spent with the phone this morning. And I did all kinds of cool things with the phones, all kinds of interesting, cool things with the phone. So, but the voicemail isn't working. The voicemail is not working. I'm getting this goofy message. And, by the way, you can record your own voicemail outgoing message right on the phone, which is kind of cool. So I have to go to this thing. I bring it with me. I'm going to play with it while I'm sitting there waiting for the thing. And it was a casting workshop, and I just got subsumed. I mean, all of the actors in the workshop, all of the people that were helping with the workshop, the proctors and so on, even the casting director, who is casting this new show called Life, and did work on West Wing. I was very much looking forward to this. They all wanted to see the iPhone. We almost didn't start on time because everybody was looking at the iPhone, which is fine. So on the way back, and I still have my Verizon phone, on the way back from the casting director workshop at 4 this afternoon before I started the show tonight, I get on the phone with AT&T and tech support to try and get this voicemail thing fixed and also to figure out if I can change the phone number, if I can have my voicemail messages forwarded to my AT&T unified messaging inbox, which would then send it to me via email, which is kind of nice. Because sometimes you don't have your cell phone on, it's not around, and you want to get the messages sent to you as you're doing your work during the day, you know. So you can't do that, which is sad because it's AT&T and it's unified messaging, and you should be able to do that. But frankly, once you see how voicemail is handled on the iPhone, really doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. So, all right. So I've got the iPhone, and I start to go through all the paces with it. First of all, it's three different devices. So, by the way, I'm happy. AT&T's tech support knows about the iPhone. They know how to do it. They fixed the voicemail thing. So now people can send, you know, they can leave voicemail for me. I'm happy. The features of the iPhone are on a 30,000-foot level. It's three different devices. First of all, it's a phone. It's a great cell phone. Second, it's an iPod. It's a great iPod. And third, the only way I can describe it is it's an internet device. It's a browser and email device, an SMS device. But SMS kind of bleeds over into the phone. So it's all integrated extremely well. There are some things you can't do with the iPhone. We'll get to that later in the show. Some people have complained that you can't do certain things. I haven't found a thing yet that is a deal breaker for me. Let's start with the phone. It is a GPRS GSM phone, which means you can take it all over the world. You can use it all over the world. Not right now, but if AT&T offers, not as a full-fledged iPhone, some of the services aren't available because of regional geographical restrictions, but you can use it as a cell phone in any country where you can go on AT&T roaming and be prepared to get hit with some pretty heavy charges there with AT&T roaming. But it is a great cell phone. And the way calls are made on the cell phone, there are myriad ways to do it. You can do it the old-fashioned way where you basically bring up the keyboard and dial the phone. But it's so much easier to bring up the address book, punch up a letter to go to where you want to do. Like if I was calling Lily, I'd punch up the L, and then I'd punch up Lily under the L's, and you just touch the name, and it starts the call. Now, on the phone itself, there are two features on the face that are of note. One is the little speaker at the top. You know, the earpiece speaker. It's not a speakerphone, although there is a speakerphone. It's a speaker. And that's what, you know, speaks into your ear. Right behind that little device is a proximity sensor. Now, what this proximity sensor does, you've seen the commercials where they're using their fingers on everything. You think you put that up against your cheek, it's going to start punching buttons and, you know, synchronizing with your iTunes and going to NewYorkTimes.com and everything. No, the moment you put it up to your head, and you put that edge of the phone against your ear so you can hear a phone call, the screen goes black. The touch-sensitive screen is turned off while you have it up against your face. And it's the same type of electrical connection with the proximity sensor as it is with the touch screen. you can't use a stylus on the iPhone. You have to use your finger. And the reason is that they want that sort of, there's an electrical charge in your body. It wants to sense that, and it wants to know that it's actually a finger that's touching. That way, when it's in your phone or it's in your breast pocket, your nipple can't call somebody, which is what happened with me on the Trio all the time. So, all right. So making a phone call a breeze using the touch tones, you can hold it in your hand. You can use your thumb to dial the phone. You can use your thumb to flick up and down on the list of people. You find who you want. You click on it. Boom. You just touch it. The phone call starts. Once the phone call starts, there's sort of a screen that overlays the screen that lets you do certain things. It lets you put people on hold, lets you switch to speakerphone, lets you dial another number. You know, if you want to go through a phone tree, brings up the keypad so you can press 1 for sales, press 2 for service, pretty straightforward. Then it gets really cool, and we'll talk more about how the iPhone works on Online Tonight.
Online Tonight.
Hey! Bookmark this.
All right, with Bookmark This, we take very cool sites and we tell you where to go to find them. And in this hour, the site is all on number portability. You can get all the information you need from the FCC, where they'll tell you all about number portability. FCC.gov/CGB, which I don't know what that means, but CGB/number portability. And that's intercapped, meaning capital N, capital P, number portability. So here we go again. www.fcc.gov/CGB, umber, uppercase P, lowercase portability. So number portability with capital N and capital P. So there you go. We'll put a link to it on our site at onlinetonight.com. But number portability is what lets you take a number from the phone you already have, even if it's not on AT&T, and port it over to your new iPhone or any phone should you get a new phone. Number portability, all explained at fcc.gov. That is this hour's Bookmark This, and it is brought to you by our friends at Navizon. Navizon is mapping the entire country. When you go get Navizon at navizon.com, that's spelled N-A-V-I-Z-O-N, and you plug it into your laptop or your cell phone, it's absolutely free. Every time you pass a point that Navizon can map, you get credit for it. You get paid. And the more you drive, those of you in trucks and cars and so on, the more you drive, the more you map, the more money you make. So go check it out at navizon.com, N-A-V-I-Z-O-N.com.
Online Tonight.
Televangelism or pro wrestling? Only your hairdresser knows for sure. This is Online Tonight with David Lawrence. Now, here's David.
1-800-39-ONLINE is our telephone number. If you have any questions as we mow through the phone, we're now going to get to the nitty-gritty of the phone. And I actually just downloaded the iPhone user guide, which is not included in the box. It's not included in the packaging. You go to Apple's site and you download it. You access it through Help with iTunes. There's an iTunes Help menu and then iPhone Help, and one of the options is to download the user's manual. I just downloaded it, and I forwarded it over to Ms. Von Stupp because she, too, is now a proud owner of, and there's some very cool things in the user's guide. So, all right, let me just take you through the phone at a glance, and I'm going to do my best to be descriptive here on the radio. This is a very slim candy bar-style phone. On the top of the phone, there are three things. The headset jack, and the headset is included. It's a three-band headset because there's a microphone in it. It kind of looks like the old-style iPod headset, and it is, except that there is also a little bulging portion of the on the cord where you can press a button, and you can actually administer calls that way. Plus, it's got a microphone in it. Then you've got a SIM card tray where you actually put the SIM card in. It's pre-installed, so you don't have to worry about that. And then a sleep-wake button. You hold the button down for a certain period of time, it wakes it up. You hold the button down for a certain period of time, and it sleeps it. And the difference between the sleep-wake button on this and the sleep-wake button on a computer is this actually turns the phone off. It's more like an on-off button than a sleep switch, but they call it a sleep switch. So there you go. Now, front of the device. On the front of the device, the front faceplate, I told you about the little ear slot what you'll hear when you make a phone call. You'll hear the caller through that. You don't listen to music through that. You listen to music through the headset jack, but that's what's there. And when you put it up against your head, again, that proximity switch is in there, and it turns off the faceplate. On the back of the only thing on the back of the thing is the lens for the camera. There's a 2-megapixel camera associated with it, and it's one of the applications. So it's on the back, but it's so that's all. You basically see a front face that's flat and black, and then you'll notice there's that little slot at the top, which is the little speaker for your headset. And then on the bottom, there's something called the home button. And the home button does one thing. You press it, and it takes you home. It's like taking you to the Finder. Okay? And that's what lights up. When it first lights up, the phone starts. It first lights up. There are 12 buttons on top, which are the applications. There's indicators as to how much signal strength you have, whether you're connected to a Wi-Fi, what time it is. It's called the status bar. And then, you know, this is all behind the touch screen. Then there's also 4 buttons along the bottom. And those first 4 buttons are sort of like on deck. There's more buttons behind the more button, but that's there. So that's what you have on the front of the machine, the front of the phone. On the bottom of the phone, you have the speakerphone, the microphone, and the 30-pin slot, which is pretty typical for any Apple iPod device. So there you go. That's what you get. Now, also in the box is a cleaning cloth. There is a dock. There is a USB power adapter, which plugs into the USB cable and the dock connector, so you can plug your phone into the wall and power it up. You can charge it without having a computer nearby where you would plug in and charge via that. So I haven't found the cleaning cloth in my box. I have to find that. I didn't even know that was in there, so I'm glad I downloaded the user manual. Now, there are a bunch of applications, those 12 buttons on the screen. There are 4 major ones along the bottom. These are the big ones. Phone, where you make calls, you use the phone application to look at your recent calls, your favorites, your address book, you can get there that way, and also voicemail and so on. Then there's mail. Now, mail, you can either do POP, IMAP, or Yahoo, Gmail, AOL, and .Mac mail. So pretty much any option you have for mail on your laptop, you also have on your iPhone. And it's easy to set up. All you need is the same information that you set up with any other email account on your laptop or your desktop machine. So that's mail. The third big application along the bottom is Safari. Safari is exactly the same as Safari is on my MacBook Pro, save one or two things, Java and Flash. So if you have a site that you go to that has Flash menus, you can't usually use those. But again, who knows when that will be added? It can all be added via software. So there you go. And then finally, iPod. So those are the 4 main across the bottom. iPod works exactly what you'd think. You can listen to your songs and your TV shows and your movies and your podcasts and so on in widescreen, all with the iPod app. More on the iPhone when we come back. Love it.
Internet and punch in www.5buzzbeer.com.
Well, BuzzBeer doesn't have a website.
Oh, wow, we do now.
Welcome, you've got beer with David Lawrence.
And now, from the most connected city in the universe, this is Online Tonight with David Lawrence. On the air, toll-free at 1-800-39-ONLINE, 1-800-396-6546. And now, the host of Online Tonight, David Lawrence.
All right, it's 7 minutes past the hour. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-800-39-ONLINE, 1-800-396-6546. It might be slightly different on the screen that you're looking at on your radio. It might say 888-488-DAVID. Either one will work. The lines are open tonight. We are talking specifically about technology, specifically about the iPhone. Certainly, if you have questions about your Mac, your PC, the internet, Google, podcasting, pop-up ads, YouTube, MySpace, anything, that's fine. You can pick up the phone, you can give us a call, but hey, everybody's talking about the iPhone. I have one. It's right here in front of me. I'm playing with it and telling you all about it. If you've missed any portion of the show, you can get the entire rundown by going to davidlawrenceunplugged.com or by going to onlinetonight.com and clicking on the podcast link. Either way, it'll be available for you. You can subscribe for $7 a month, get the whole show sent to you automatically. But this is a very interesting one, very interesting show from me not really wanting an iPhone, thinking, well, it's AT&T, it's not all that good. Maybe they're making things up in that commercial. Maybe Steve had a mock-up when he did it back in January when he announced it at Macworld. And then moving from that to absolutely wanting one getting one, having trials and tribulations with the authorization, Ms. von Stupp deciding she wants one, and so on. And what we're doing is basically going over the entire phone and discussing all the cool things you have. We're up to looking at the main applications, phone, mail, Safari, and iPod. Remember, it is a phone. It is a very cool video iPod, although limited in capacity. And it is also an internet device with mail and a browser, Safari, just like on your Macintosh, just like on your PC. There's a Safari now for PC. You can get it there. All right, so those are the four big app buttons along the bottom. Then you have a bunch of, 12 of them actually, buttons in a package on top on the cell phone. You've got SMS for texting. You've got a calendar. You've got the interface to your photos because, you know, just like on the iPod, you can have photos on this thing. There's a camera application. It's got a 2-megapixel camera. You can look at them on the iPhone. You can send them to your computer. You can email them. You can set iPhone to display your friend's picture when that person calls you, all kinds of cool things. There's a YouTube button that looks like a television. At the last minute, Apple made a deal with YouTube, and YouTube is taking their most popular stuff, copyright compliant, and converting them to H.264 so they can be shown on the iPhone. And they built a whole app around it. So YouTube is on the iPhone out of the box. Then there is a stocks application where you can watch your graphs and your stocks and whatnot. And then there's Maps, which is in combination with Google, that is really, really cool. Street maps, photographic satellites, and so on. It's all about the maps with Google. Then there's weather, where you can get weather conditions, a clock, which is just like the clock on your Apple desktop or laptop. There's a calculator, there's notes, and then there's a settings button. All right, so we've talked about all the different things it can do. First of all, the battery's built in. You can't change it. You don't pull it out and put a new one in. It's built in for recharges. It says they'll recharge about 300 times before it starts to sort of drop in thing, and then you got to send it back to Apple to have it, you know, replaced. It's got Bluetooth on it. It's got an alarm clock system on it. Now, if it doesn't have more than one alarm, which I haven't found out yet, there's so much about this I haven't found out yet, I'm going to miss that because having that on my Crazer was really fun. There's a play button that shows that a song is playing. You can lock your phone. It shows whether you're on Wi-Fi. There's an airplane mode. You can't use the phone. You can't access the internet. You can't use Bluetooth devices. But everything else is available, which makes me think when everybody says, hey, I can't just use this as an iPod. Well, yeah, you can. Just put it in airplane mode, and then you're not dealing with the drain on the battery of the cell phone part of things and the Wi-Fi part of things and the Bluetooth and the internet part of things. So you can actually use it as an iPod, but you can't buy it without authorizing it with AT&T. You can't use the device until it's been authorized with AT&T. So you can't buy an iPhone and just use it as a very cool widescreen iPod. All right, now, you can lock the phone when you turn it off, on and off. You can lock the phone using the sleep and wake button. You can unlock the phone by using the home button. That's how you wake it up. You can turn the phone off completely by holding that sleep wake button on the top edge down for a few seconds. And then when that happens, all your incoming calls are going to go straight to voicemail. You turn it on by doing the same thing. You press and hold the sleep and wake button until the Apple logo appears, which is kind of freaky. Because when that Apple button appears, it looks just like my MacBook Pro because it's running the same operating system as my MacBook Pro. It runs Mac OS 10.4.10, which has caused some problems. Let me take a little side trip here. When you update your Macintosh so that it can handle the situations going on with the iPhone, you upgrade from 10.4.9 to 10.4.10. And a weird sort of Y2K thing happens because Unix is not set, you know, that's what the Apple operating system is based on. Unix is not set to understand any more than four digits, or at least Apple's version of the operating system isn't. And here you've got 5, 10, 4, 10. So what happens is sort of the reverse of a buffer overflow series. It only reads the first four digits. So in some people's cases, in some Macintosh's cases, it thinks it's back at 10.4.1. And some things don't work, so it's kind of weird. All right, the touchscreen is very cool. It is so intuitive. You tap, you don't double tap, you tap on any icon to start it. You want to do the camera, the photos, calendar, SMS, you just tap. Anytime you want to go back to that screen, you press the home button, which is mechanical, whereas all the other buttons are touchscreen. This business of flicking and dragging and scrolling, it all happens through that screen. If you open up Safari, which is one of the apps along the bottom, and you've seen it on the commercial, you've seen both the maps and the New York Times homepage and all that stuff. If you want to move around that page once it loads, you simply drag the page along the screen, and it moves in that direction. So if you want to look in the upper right-hand corner, you pull the page down with your finger, and it shows you the upper right-hand corner. If you want to go to the bottom of the page, you push the page up, and it takes you down to the page. And it's just as smooth as it is on the commercials. It's so cool. It is so cool. Now, same thing with lists. I've got 6,000 people in my contact list. If I want to go very quickly along the contact list, I just send my finger towards the top and it scrolls down. It won't activate anything when you go. You can actually stop it from scrolling by putting your finger on it. All these things have been worked out by the Apple engineers. It's very cool. Whatever you stop on won't be activated. So if you just want to stop it from fizzing by you, you can do that. You can drag diagonally. You can drag up and down, left and right, and diagonally on a 45-degree angle. It is very, very cool. And it's also done one other thing. When you put the phone up to your head, sometimes when you have a smartphone that has an interface like this, your face does things to the phone. It brings up the weather, or it dials a number or whatever. When you put that thing up against your head, Apple's built it so that it knows that it's there and it won't do anything. The screen goes dark. Ah, this is so cool. More on the iPhone as Online Tonight continues.
Online Tonight. Geek speak. Geek speak.
The Geek Speak phrase for this hour, where we take a tech term and turn it into plain English before your very ear, is touchscreen, because the iPhone has a very interesting touchscreen. If you use a typical touchscreen, which is basically a touchscreen that you use with a desktop machine or a Nintendo DS or something that uses a touchscreen for interplay, you can only touch one point on the screen at a time. The iPhone has something called multi-point touch. I think it's only two, but still, two opens up a whole raft of possibilities. Because one of the things you can do with is it's not just controlling where you touch and where you mouse and where you... There's no mousing involved. You know, when you type on the keyboard, you can type using your fingers. But if you have a picture up on the screen and you want to make that picture larger, you take your thumb and your forefinger as though you were about to pick up a penny. You put it on the picture and you gradually widen your fingers in whatever direction you want the picture to open up in. And guess what? The picture gets bigger. It's hysterical. It's fabulous. You want to make it smaller? You sort of like go, okay, you're this wide, you're this wide. I'm crushing your head. I'm crushing your head. You bring your fingers together on the screen and the picture gets smaller. Same thing with your websites and so on. If you want to get close, you double tap. It zooms in. You can spread things out. You can swing things around. This screen is really, really cool. And it is the state-of-the-art controller. And it's on the iPhone, which is just awesome. All right. This hour is Geek Speak touchscreen. And it's brought to you by our friends at GoDaddy. If you need to register one domain or transfer 1,000, I can save you money on your .com domain registrations. First of all, they're cheap. They're $8.95 if you don't buy any other non-domain product. So $8.95 still beats the pants off everybody else, right? $6.95 when you use my special code per domain per year. So if you got a bunch of domains, you're ordering them up for 5 years each. You do radio $6.95 when you check out. The code, you type that code in when you check out. It's called a checkout code. You type that in, and you get $2 off, and you see it right there in the checkout. It's for listening to the show. Radio 695. That's the special code to get even cheaper .com domains than the already low, low prices at GoDaddy.com. GoDaddy, GoDaddy.com. The code is Radio 695.
Heard around the world on the Armed Forces Radio Network, this is Online Tonight with David Lawrence. Now, here's David.
All right. It is 23 minutes past the hour. We're kind of going over everything with regards to the brand new iPhone. I have one. It's in my hand. I'm playing with it as we speak. All right. So we talked about stretching the pictures and so on. You can type keys on the keyboard, which comes up in just about everything, whether it's entering phone numbers, people's names, contacts, notes, etc. The cool thing about the keyboard is that it suggests corrections. And I know that when you start to look at it, you go, well, how would it know what I'm typing? It does. It just does. By the way, if you have questions about the iPhone, you have any questions about it, you want to know more about it, 1-800-39-ONLINE. Our lines are open, 1-800-396-6546. Now, there's a shift key, and here's a very cool thing that I didn't know. When you're in the Notes program, the text is kind of small. Especially when you get older, the text is kind of small. If you simply hold your finger on the screen, a magnifying lens appears and increases the size in a circle of what you're looking at, and you can drag that magnifying screen around on the picture. It's amazing. It's fantastic. So you can do that in such a way that when you want to make corrections, all of a sudden the characters are bigger. So that's very cool. Now, on the side of the device, there is a volume up, volume down rocker switch. It's actually two different switches, but it looks like a rocker switch. Volume up, volume down, not only for the speakerphone and for the ringer, but also when you're in the midst of a call. If you're on the call already, you can pick up the volume, lower the volume, and so on. You got a silence switch. You know how before you'd have to go into your preferences and find your ringer preferences and all that? Yeah, no. There is a simple silence switch to change between ring and silent mode. And when it's in ring mode, it plays all the sounds. It doesn't do anything in silent mode other than the alarms. If you set alarms in clock, then that will sound. By default, when you get a call, it vibrates, so that's going to be there for you no matter what. But it is very cool. You can send calls to voicemail easily with it. It's just fantastic. 1-800-39-ONLINE is our telephone number, 1-800-396-6546. Pete, you're online tonight with David Lawrence. Hello.
Yeah, I actually heard, I don't know if I heard you right, but does the iPhone have built-in Wi-Fi?
Yep, 802.11bng.
Oh, nice.
Yep, so, and here's the cool thing about the Wi-Fi. If you go into an open Wi-Fi area, it automatically jumps from the edge network, where it's kind of slow, it's about 200K, to whatever the Wi-Fi network is. And if you have a home Wi-Fi system or a work Wi-Fi system that is closed, if it's a place that you go to all the time, or if there's a Starbucks you go to all the time, or you have a T-Mobile account for Wi-Fi, you just put those in, and you can build a list of Wi-Fi networks that you go to all the time. You put in the WAP password, the WEP password, or the WEP code, or the password for the actual site itself, and every time it senses it's on that network, it automatically moves to that network. And it does so without even telling you. All of a sudden, everything is gorgeous. So that's very cool, all right?
All right.
Thanks, I appreciate it. Thanks very much. Maybe Pete will be getting one. Who knows? You have questions about the iPhone? Give me a buzz. Now, we're on to the stereo headphone. This comes with a stereo headphone that has not only the typical things that the iPod headphone has, but there's a little tiny bulge in the left-hand strand of wire that goes down to the cord that pops into the top of the iPhone. And it does a whole bunch of things. It's a mic button, and it's a mic. You can pause a song. You can skip to the next song. You click twice. You can answer an incoming call. You click once. You want to end the call. You click once. You want to say, no, I really don't want that call. You press and hold. This is so cool. You press and you hold it for about 2 seconds. You let go. It goes right to visual voicemail, which when we get to, you're going to just love. Because if it's somebody you didn't want to talk to in the first place, probably don't want to get that voicemail message right off the bat either. And you can do that at your whim with the visual voicemail. So there's so many things you can do. I just don't like the headset because it's that like candy disc wafer kind of headset rather than the in-the-ear soft rubber things that they went to later on with the iPods. I prefer those. The ones that were with the older iPods and the ones that these look like. They kind of, you know, irritate my ears, you know? I don't like them very much. But, you know, the button works pretty good, so maybe I'll try to figure out how to get used to them. I don't hang them in that little slot. I try to shove them in my ears so that I can hear better. Maybe that's my problem. All right, coming up next, we're going to talk about connecting to the internet. We'll piggyback on what Pete had to say. 1-800-39-ONLINE is our telephone number, 1-800-396-6546. I'm giving you a complete rundown on my brand new iPhone. I've got one I'm sharing with you.
Three college students were asked to take 2 days and download as many music files as possible from easily accessible file sharing services. In 2 days, they downloaded over 6,000 songs. Now, multiply that by millions of other college students and millions of other computer users, and it's easy to understand why each month, approximately 3.6 billion songs are illegally downloaded. Still think it's a small problem? Respect the music.
A message from Online Tonight with David Lawrence.
Respect the music.
Don't pirate.
Online Tonight. Online Tonight.
And now, a few more moments of pulse-pounding, thrill-a-minute entertainment. This is Online Tonight with David Lawrence. Now, here's David.
All right, it is 26 minutes before the hour. We're just celebrating the idea of the iPhone and my purchase of one. I could have called Apple and I could have gotten one ahead of time. I could have been with the maybe 100 people or so that got them seated ahead of time. People like David Pogue and Leo Laporte and others. But I didn't want to. I didn't want to play with it. I didn't have time. I had things I was doing. And then I just sort of fell in love with it, and we've been sort of celebrating it because I stood in line yesterday for a very short amount of time, less than 5 minutes, because I went after the show last night, picked it up. Ms. von Stupp fell in love with it. She decided she wanted one. Ugh. So we've been playing with it all day, and it was the talk of my casting workshop today when I went to meet with those people. And, you know, and I've been sort of talking about it the whole show. If you missed any portion of the show, you can always go check it out at davidlawrenceunplugged.com. We're walking you all the way through the iPhone, letting you know everything there is to know about it. And we were up to how to connect to the internet with this thing. Now, most of the time, every time you press either the Safari button or the Mail button, it automatically connects to the internet through whatever the fastest option available is. And Pete called earlier and said, no, wait a minute, it has Wi-Fi built in? Yep, 802.11b and g. It connects to the last Wi-Fi network you use that's available. It looks for and shows you a list of Wi-Fi networks, many of which will probably be closed at this particular juncture, but some may be open. If you're in a coffee shop that has free Wi-Fi, it'll show up. Or if you've got an account, you can enter the account information. So, airport networks, typical Linksys, Belkin, you know, Wi-Fi home and work. Routers, those work just fine. And also the Edge network for AT&T, so you'll see that. Now, you can use the iPhone on an airplane. By the way, it switches back and forth without telling you if you've got the password for the Wi-Fi that you're working with. You can use the iPhone on an airplane. You turn on the airplane mode. You choose settings and turn the airplane mode on. Here's what you can't do. You can't make phone calls. You can't send or receive email. You can't browse the internet. No text messaging. You can't stream YouTube videos. You can't get stock quotes, map locations, weather reports, anything your typical internet stuff. But you can listen to music, watch videos that are already on your hard drive. You can listen to visual voicemail because that's all stored on your iPhone. You can check your calendar. You can take or view pictures. You can hear alarms. You can use a stopwatch. You can take notes. You can read text messages, email messages that are already stored on the iPhone. You can reply to them for later sending. So there's a lot of things you can do without having the phone completely turned on if you're on an airplane. Charging is easy. You either charge and sync via the USB cable or you plug the USB cable into the cradle. And you can actually do that. Take the USB cable with you, leave the cradle at home, and you're good to go. But the cradle is small enough that it'll fit in your laptop bag. So if you're really on the road, just take the whole shoot and match with you and you can do just fine. The phone itself, you want to make phone calls, right? And that is what Steve said was the killer app. You tap on the phone icon on the front of the screen and the first thing you're presented with is your contact list. Now you can pull up, there's a series of five icons across the bottom that lets you pull up your favorites. It lets you pull up, what do you call it? 19th, 20th, if you want to be all 20th century, you can pull up the keypad and you actually hear the touch tones as they're being dialed. So that's kind of cool. And let's see what else. You can make a bunch of favorites, which is kind of nice. Once you're on the call, there is a second sort of overlay screen that comes up that isn't there when the phone's up next to your ear, but as soon as you pull it away from your ear, there it is on the screen. And there's six different icons on that. You can mute the call. You can bring up the keypad again in case you encounter an IVR system where you have to touch one for service, touch two for sales, whatever. Do the speakerphone. All you have to do to add a call is touch the plus button. And it brings up a whole new thing. It puts the caller on hold. It brings up a whole new interface. You can bring up a second call, and you can conference them. You can keep the person on hold while you talk and get rid of the second call. You can put a person on hold very simply. There's a pause button, and there's a big old red end call button. Now, again, it's got that proximity sensor inside it, so when you put it up against your face, you're not going to accidentally touch any of those buttons, which is really nice. So a call comes in. How do you answer the call? Big old red button, answer call. You answer the call, boom, you're gone. Now there's a slider. They use this slider motif all over the place, which is kind of cool. If your phone is locked and you pull it out of your pocket and it says to answer the phone, slide the slider, all you do is drag your finger across the bottom of the screen and it unlocks the phone and answers the call. If you're listening to audio with the stereo headset, you just click the mic button, which again is on the left-hand tendril of the thing. You can silence a call, you can decline a call, and it's all through a very easy interface that is just cool. The neat thing about this is I've seen people mess with their phones in cars. I've seen them mess with their phones in meetings trying to figure out how to conference call people, how to make a three-way call and stuff. It couldn't be easier. And one of the things that people complain about when it comes to the iPhone is that Apple went with AT&T and nobody else. And the reason is that Apple had to get invasive with whoever they partnered with so that the iPhone would work with their network. AT&T said, you know what? We give up. We've created things that people don't know how to use. Apple, you want to take a stab at it? Go ahead. And they've just come through in spades. The interface on the iPhone is the easiest cell phone to use ever. Ever. It's fantastic. Big old buttons for older people, very clean design, very intuitive design on the both the hardware and the software side, just really, really cool. Now, you can merge calls. We went through that. Visual voicemail. This is really cool. This is another icon on the screen when you're doing the phone thing. Just like with iChat, and with AIM on the Macintosh, you know how when you bring that up, there's a little icon with a little red circle and it has the number of messages you've got going or the number of messages you've missed, or with mail on the dock, it shows you that same interface on the phone. So if you're used to the Mac OS interface, it is dead on. Dead on. You look at the phone and it tells you the number of calls missed and the number of unheard voicemail messages. So you bring up the phone and visual voicemail, it's, you know how when you get on the phone, you have to get your voicemail, you have to dial into your voicemail, you have to wait, you have to punch in your code. Yeah, you can set modern voicemail systems to not require a code, but then you're in security risk, right? Well, instead of saving the voicemail on AT&T's system, they save the voicemail on the phone itself. Very low bitrate MP3 files, I'm assuming, or AAC files. But when you bring up your voicemail, it brings up a list of voicemail messages, which means, with my goofy Verizon voicemail, if I've got 12 inbound messages, I've been in a session for a few hours and I've got 12 messages. If the last message is the one from my agent saying, get to a new gig, I have to go through all 11 of those messages. Even if there are some left in my inbox, I have to go through all 11 of those messages to get by, you know, hit pound save or hit pound skip and then get to the 12th one. Finally, I'm 10 minutes later, I'm getting to that message. No, you see the list of messages that have been sent to your phone, and if the 7th out of 12th is the really important one you want, you touch it in the list, and it plays. You don't have to skip by anything. You don't have to save things. You know, it's gorgeous. It is absolutely gorgeous. Now, one thing I don't like about it is that you can't call in, because it's on your phone, you can't call in and create a produced voicemail message. like I can with my Verizon or my home phone, which would be nice to do. Be nice to be able to do. You can only record it through the phone itself. So I have to give up my very cool, although I may set up my studio so that I can do that properly. All right. So visual voicemail, very cool. And when you get to a voicemail message, if it's somebody you know, if it's somebody, and it shows their name, the name that would come up with number identification or whatever, if it's somebody you know, there's a big callback button. And you simply call them back. You can move to the end of the message. There's a playhead slider like there is in iTunes. It's like a little mini iTunes thing. It's so cool. You want to listen to the message again? You just tap the play button again. That's it. You can delete the messages by hitting the delete button. You can see a caller's contact information as well. How horrifying is this? That you have to remember with regular voicemail when they go, oh yeah, my phone number is 555-6868. That's 555-6868. And you don't know what they said. You don't know whether you could remember when you got to put it you got to bring up your address book. No. With this, you simply tap, there's a little arrow next to the message. You tap that arrow and there's an option that says create new contact or add to existing contact. And then you flick through your contacts and you add or you make a new one. It's so cool. You can set the alert sounds are really cool. The ringer tones are really cool. There's all kinds of cool stuff going on. So there you go. Now, adding contacts is very easy when the phone call comes in, when the voicemail comes in. You can add a new contact. Now, one of the things I like about it is that as we're speaking, I'm actually syncing 6,000 contacts from Entourage through address book to the iPhone. And it's very simple to do. There are a couple of scripts out there, Apple scripts out there, that Paul Berkowitz has written, sync calendar, Entourage calendar to iCal, and sync Entourage contacts to address book. And it's really, really easy. So it's shareware. It's $19 if you use it for more than 2 weeks. Believe me, it's more than enough value to me. So we're going to take care of some other things, adding favorites and so on, and all contacts are displayed, and changing your voicemail password. There's some ringtones that are very cool on it. Let me maybe play a few of them for you. And then, you know, Bluetooth is automatic, and we're going to talk about Mail, Safari, and we'll also continue into the podcast. So if you haven't signed up for the podcast, go to onlinetonight.com, click on the podcast link, and sign up for the personal netcast. It's absolutely free. We're going to continue on with it and talk a little bit more about the iPhone all night long. We're dedicated to the iPhone. It's so cool. Back with more Online Tonight in just a moment. I'm David Lawrence.
Online Tonight.
Hey! Bookmark this.
So Bookmark This is where we once an hour take you to a website that we think is very, very cool and we think you would benefit from. We're talking all night tonight about the iPhone. So let's see what Miss Von Stupp has come up with. Ah, it's the site of the night, the iPhone. It's iPhone.com. Now, that actually takes you to Apple.com/iPhone. And, you know, talk about rearranging your website to highlight what's hot. First, you remember when the MacBook Pro was hot, they had a whole section dedicated to that. Then, you know, the iPod's always hot. They had the new shuffles out that are about the size of a postage stamp. That was really hot. And now the iPhone has a site all for itself. And I urge you to download, if you get an iPhone, I urge you to download the iPhone user manual, because there's all kinds of cool things in it that they don't talk about, they haven't been able to talk about, because they just haven't had time to do it. But it's very, very cool, and that is the case there at iPhone.com. iPhone.com. that is this hour's Bookmark This.
Online Tonight.
Nothing down, interest-free, and no payments until next summer. This is Online Tonight with David Lawrence. Now, here's David.
Good God. Small family of foreigners moved into my throat. All right, fine. the iPhone is what we're talking about here. And the iPhone, we're getting up to, we sort of looked at the phone, and we will look at mail and the internet and stuff. So the mail application is pretty simple. The mail application lets you do whatever you want with whatever email accounts you already have. Now, Apple's made a big deal out of the fact that they partnered with Yahoo to give you push IMAP email, which is fine, you know. It means that you'll get your stuff, just like BlackBerry Mail, you'll get it automatically as things come to you, as opposed to going to the mail application, having the mail application go out and, you know, check the server either via IMAP or via POP3 for your email, which is what you have to do. So if you sign up for Yahoo Mail, it's push email. I happen to have a Yahoo Mail account, but I'm not going to redirect all of my other email accounts to that, because when I reply, that means I'm going to be replying from my Yahoo account, and I don't want to do that. That's not the way to do it. So it sort of approximates BlackBerry Mail, but you still have to pop an IMAP automatically or manually via mail. And again, it parses in the mail. They've thought about this tremendously. It parses email messages for phone numbers. So if somebody sends you an email message, oh, by the way, if you want to get in touch with me, I've got the phone number in there, and there you go. Now, you can set it to check for mail every so often. So it's kind of like push. You can set every 15 minutes you want it to check for mail and so on. But the cool thing is that if you get an email message with a phone number in it, you can tap that phone number and dial it, which is very, very nice. You can also save that phone number as a contact. So that's pretty cool. And also the recipients of the email and so on, you can do that. So there are a number of different documents. You can actually attach files just like you can with BlackBerry, and the formats that are covered are .c, which is, you know, for programmers, .cpp, .diff, .doc, which is Word documents, .h, .hpp, .hpm, .html, .m, .mm, .patch, .pdf, so you can send PDFs really easy, .txt, and .xls, which is, you know, the spreadsheet manager. So there's a lot of things that it does support, but, you know, not all of them directly. If you have an attachment that doesn't support, when you sync up, it'll take it to an area on iTunes where you can grab it. So there you go. Now, that's about it for mail. It's pretty straightforward. There's all kinds of settings. You can set your fonts and your signatures and so on. But that's about it. And it's straightforward, very easy to use. The next big application is Safari. And Safari uses either the Edge network or your Wi-Fi hotspot, whatever you're in that's faster, to get on the World Wide Web. And all you do, first of all, when you sync on a Macintosh, if you're using Safari on the Macintosh, my iPhone now has every single bookmark that I had in Safari when I started. When I add new ones or when I add one to the iPhone, it'll be reflected in both cases. I mean, that is so cool. And it's not like the typical, awful, disgusting, brain-dead browsers that you have on cell phones. When you look at a web page via Safari on an iPhone, it looks exactly like it would look on Safari on your laptop or your desktop. Yes, it's small when you first see it, but all you do is double tap anywhere on the screen and it zooms in. Double tap again, zooms in again, and it redraws everything too, by the way. All the fonts are real crisp and clear. The pictures are real crisp and clear. There's a link. Click on the link. It takes you to the new page. And you can zoom in there. You can have multiple pages open. It's almost like having tabbed browsing open. I mean, it's really, really interesting. Now, here's one of the other things. The iPhone has a motion sensor switch inside it. If you're looking at it the way you'd look at a normal candy bar telephone, where it's narrower than it is tall, you know, portrait, if you flip it to the left or flip it to the right, the picture will reorient and take up the entire width of the screen rather than height of the screen, and you see it in widescreen. Same thing happens with videos on the iPod, which we'll talk more about in the podcast. I mean, it reorients and expands the page, and again, you double tap, you go in closer, you can flick it, right? You can flick it down, flick it to the right, flick it up to the top. It's like you're pushing the page around on a table. You can bring up the keyboard to type in, you know, say you have to sign into a website. You can block pop-ups. There's security settings. It is I would say it's about 70% of the full features, whereas any other cell phone browser is like 10%. You know, it's like everything's stacked up. You can't read anything. There's no images. It takes forever. It's just gorgeous. And now, listen, in the podcast, we're going to talk about the iPod features of the iPhone.